Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, this car good, ISO?
Yo, it's good, man.
Yo, I've been getting some bad cars lately, man.
Not for me.
Yo, I need my money.
Yo, you good, Doc. You good. Check it out.
Hey, hold on. All right, we good. You're now in the office to Dr. Big Al and my patient,
ISO, on Nick's Therapy.
At 7sitemedia.com.
Yo, what up, Knicks Nation? Listen to
what
Knicks
up,
therapy
Knicks?
With Dr.
Sorry,
Big
Doc.
Al.
I,
yeah,
it's good
to have
ISO,
my man ISO back
was
in the
good
building.
It's good, man. I'm all out the groove and stuff. You know, my car hasn't been good for a minute, so, you know.
Yo, it's good right now. I'm happy to have you back, man.
It's good to be back. It's good to be back for all my listeners. I miss y'all, you know what I'm saying? And I'm back. I'm back right on time. Right on time.
Yeah.
Summer League tomorrow. It's like I never left, Doc.
Yeah, man. You know I'm happy, man. As soon as that car said approved, I was like, let's go. Let's go, man.
You miss me or my car, Doc?
Both, man. The listeners miss you too, man. Yo, listeners out there. 563-999-3716. We got a lot
press
to
one
talk about
to enter
tonight.
The queue. Press
for
one
real.
To enter the queue.
Yeah,
so
we
what's up,
hear
Doc?
From y'all. Like you said, summer league on the horizon starts tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
We play Saturday. Tonight's show is titled Fizz Kids, mainly because we want to see what Fizzdale been doing with our youngsters, you know, since he's been drafted and since the draft and the little training they had with Frank and Robinson and Kevin.
Yeah,
Knox.
I mean,
I know a lot of people eager, man.
Got me anticipating. It's been a long time since I anticipated seeing something from the Knicks, man. For real.
I know, man. I guess about this time last year, we were anticipating Frank, and he didn't even play a summer league game for us.
I know. Which was, you know, I'm going to tell you something, Doc. I tell you like this. Right now, more than ever, it's like our development is really based upon summer league. Like, you know, back in the days, it was never really that much a hard emphasis on summer league because you had some sort of training camp and basically the IQ of a basketball player was high enough that, you know, the importance of summer league wasn't that high. But with all these one and dones and everything, this is like, it's so critical now to the development of an NBA player. And with Frank missing it last year, I think it automatically set him back to, as far as the intensity that he'd have to face, how he would have to adjust or how he'd have to build his game. So now that he gets a taste of having the whole season, and then even I think he might even be playing some games too, man. That's what I've been hearing.
He'll be there. He'll be one of the Knicks that, you know, everybody has eyes on. I think it's an important summer for him, and so far the things we've heard are encouraging about,
definitely,
you know, his
man,
development
definitely.
So far. But, yo, we're going to talk – first we're going to, you know, delve into a little bit of NBA news. I know, you know, this show is mainly about the Knicks, but, you know, without getting too deep, talk about the league right now, your synopsis on – what's going on with these super teams? You know, mainly, I mean, you know, the big thing is about Boogie Cousins joining Golden State. You know, making it a what some people say is a big five.
I mean,
quickly on that.
I mean, really, just to touch a little bit on this new wave NBA, it's just a product of them growing up, really. The AAU scene has bled over into the NBA. It's all over college, all over high schools. That's what they do now. And that's why we're having the situation that we're having, because one is because of the AAU, but also for me, I truly believe that the league needs to go back to man-to-man. Because if you go back to man-to-man, then you're allowing a singular star to help defeat a team. That, you know, they went away from man-to-man because they wanted to make it more of a team game, right? And it has been more of a team game. But now what happens is now dudes are loading up on teams, which is now diluting the talent. Whereas if you had man-to-man, okay, then you can have a situation where you can have an Iverson make it to the finals. You know, an Iverson can beat Milwaukee was a better team. Milwaukee, when Iverson played them, Milwaukee was a better team. And if Milwaukee was playing in today's era, Milwaukee beats Iverson. But because they're playing man-to-man, that means that if nobody can hold Iverson, then everybody else can feed off of that. LeBron James would be dominating right now in this NBA if it wasn't team basketball, because nobody can hold him one-on-one. And then you're able to break everything off of that. Then the double teams would have to be honest double teams. There's no illegal defenses. And I think right now we need to go back to man-to-man to allow individual talents to shine, and that will allow people to stay in small markets. That's me. That's just my opinion.
All right. My opinion on things. I think this day – you know, the kids these days, they have a lack of competitiveness, you know, and started out, you know, with LeBron kind of getting scared of not reaching the heights of the people before him, Magic, Jordan, Bird, Kobe, and the amount of championships.
That's kind of fair, Doc.
One. I think that's one part of it. Like you said, the AAU circuit is another part of it. Everybody being friends and teaming up, along with the next step after that, college, where teams like Kentucky, Duke, UCLA is on a lesser level. But players, friends, you know, teaming up and going to schools like that, you know, it's rare that a kid goes to a big-name school on his own, you know, without – other All-Americans or big name players. To add to it, there was an article I read today talking about the big part of it is probably the spike in the salary cap, and with that, teams are able to now sign more than one, you know, max player, you know, and I heard something else today coming from Jeff Van Gundy saying that, you know, the league needs to go back to some type of hard cap, you know, and that, you know, the players will still get their money, especially the big name players, but it will cause the talent to, you know, level out as far as, you know, you get a big name in almost every city, because there'll be only room for them to, you know, sign maybe one max player, and then, you know, the rest, the semi-stars, and build a team that way.
Doc, I don't mean to cut you off, Doc, but a hard cap isn't going to stop anything, really and truly. Because dudes will make their money and then leave when it's time to get a ring. Dudes are taking discounts. Dudes are able to manipulate the market, especially when you're a big star, you get endorsements. I mean, really and truly, Doc, the only way that they can really stop this stockpiling is if you go back to it sounds simple, but going back to man-to-man brings back the individual talent. That's what they went away from. You remember when there was man-to-man, you had an individual star in every team, and that's what made the game great, because you was able to say this star off this star, everything else functions. So we need to stop. We need to get back to individual talents. All these guys are getting killed because we're having specialists and we're having all these other dudes who really can't play the game, who are there for a couple of moves here and there and really can't play the game. But, I mean, shoot. As long as they're teaming up, man, let's get our Kyrie and whatever we got to do, B.
Yeah, before they fix it, right? But I think overall, I think it'll end soon, and I think it'll come down to the players themselves, the players within, you know, seeing that it is affecting the league, it's affecting the fans, you know, the NBA as a whole. I think they know it's not a good thing when, you know, analysts are saying from now that cancel the season. You know, I think everybody's heard that the last couple of days. You know,
yeah,
concerning
but,
the Golden
I mean,
State Warriors.
But that's just, you know, people saying that are just from the initial front. You know, like you hear the name, and then you're saying, okay, boom. But like to me, I think what happens is you can be over talented, man. You can be over talented, and you know. He's still playing for his contract. He's still coming back off a horrendous injury, one of the worst injuries that you can have as a player, and with him being so tall and everything. So it's not a lock, man. It's not a lock,
but, I mean, who would you put your money on? You know?
I got to see how everything shapes out. I gotta see how everything shapes out, because one thing also that you have to add to the equation. They'll be resetting again for Durant. This will be his third time. For Curry and them, this will be their fifth. So
yeah, I'm not sure how much he'll. I know, you know, Boogie's an impactful player, but I just don't see him coming in and changing things, you know, them changing things for him. I think, you know, he'll come back later in the season and just try to fit in, but we know who Boogie is. So we'll see what happens with that. Honest to goodness,
just to say this last thing before we can get back to our orange and blue,
mm-hmm.
I think they're going to miss McGee more than they know, because Zaza is slow, and Looney and Bell, they're athletic, but still they're susceptible to fouls and stuff like that, and they're still vulnerable in the pick and roll. And if you add DeMarcus Cousins and you give him minutes down the line, down the stretch, like I said, he's lunch meat in pick and rolls. I don't, you know. But enough of that about them cats, Doc.
For real, man.
Get back to our
All right,
blues,
let's
baby.
Get into what you mentioned a little while ago. You mentioned, you know, Kyrie. And it's been a talk since last season. It's coming up again, mainly because he's a free agent next season.
Right.
And lately there's been talk about, I know we've heard him say, you know, he would love to play with KP. And lately it's come out that he said he would love to play, that him and Jimmy Butler said they want to play together on the East Coast. And I guess as basketball fans and New York fans, we can't help but think that New York might be the destination. Well, what do you think about that coming, you know, in 2019.
If it is true, in fact, that Jimmy Butler and Kyrie want to play together, then it's going to be New York. Because you have to figure yourself. Is, hey, are they going to trade Hayward, who has been coached by Brad Stevens since college, low maintenance type guy? Are they going to trade him on his contract? Because you got to remember now, if they get Butler, he's going to get a max contract, but it'll be higher than Hayward's because of the salary cap. So the money's not even going to be the same. So are you going to trade Hayward for Butler?
I strongly doubt it.
You know what I'm saying? So they're not going
to, because of Hayward has a lot to prove this season coming off that.
Exactly.
Has a gruesome injury. So I don't think right away, you know.
Minnesota's not going to trade. Minnesota's not going to trade him. Now, if Jimmy Butler is strong to his word, then he's not going to sign. He's not signing the extension. And this is the new era of the players. So they're taking control by saying that I'm not signing no new extension anywhere. So again, is the team going to take a chance on trading for Jimmy Butler, knowing that he's not going to sign the extension?
Right.
No, they're not going to do that. So they're going to Minnesota's going to play it out. Minnesota's going to play it out, hoping that maximizing him can get him the most money. Now, is Kyrie Butler going to come? Is Kyrie Irving going to come to Minnesota next year? Doubt it. He wants to be in a major market. So, to me, it just makes sense that they both be in New York. They both
right.
be in New York. We'll have the money. We'll have the money. Jimmy Butler definitely fits a New York type of player, grit and grind. Definitely Fizdale's type of player. Plays defense. I think it'll be a perfect fit. You add him, you add Kyrie, Butler, some Porzingis, Kevin Knox. Man, that's a real good lineup right there. Real good lineup.
The thing about the two that I like and I could see happen is I don't see them being scared to try of, you know, trying to bring New York back or, you know, as you say, put New York on their shoulders, you know what I mean? Or, you know, be front runners and come in here. I don't see them as being scared. I think Kyrie's game is built for New York, built for the Garden, and he'll be close to home. And like
yeah.
you said, Butler's that old school Nick type, you know, the grit and grind, and most
exactly.
recently Memphis, where Fizdale came from, is known for that. I think they'll both fit, man.
Yeah, you figure, and it'll put us right in the square of the hunt, especially with the little LeBron James over here on the East Coast. I mean,
right.
we'll be right there. If we get Kyrie and Jimmy Butler, it's 1, 2, and 3, all in the Atlantic Division.
Right. I don't, like you said, I don't see either of them getting traded this season. You know, before that reason that you said, as far as them not committing or signing, you know, re-signing with any team that they get traded to, I think both of them, this will be, I think, their first time really visiting free agency. I know Butler signed back with the, you know, the contract he's on is from the Bulls, and Kyrie's contract is from when he was a Cavalier. So I don't think either of them were ever a true free agent. You know, I think Butler's deal might be, you know, an extension along with Kyrie's deal also. So they never were true
exactly.
free agents. And you know, players these days, that's what they want. You know, they want a chance to you know, be wined and dined by other teams and really choose where they want to go.
Right.
We can't forget that another factor with that is the team that they're on has their bird rights. So with that, you know, they could also sign back for a bigger amount to
no.
their current teams.
No, not after this year. They'll be unrestricted.
They don't have Kyrie's bird rights.
You not said after Boston this doesn't year,
have
he'll be unrestricted.
But they could offer him the most money,
but
right.
he's not a restricted agent.
Right,
they could offer him the most money as far as the max. Yes.
Right, that's what I'm trying to say with both of them.
Yeah,
they'll get the most money from the current teams that they're on.
That I think that is a factor, but I think both of them want to visit free agency, and I think we both know New York could being in New York could make up that money real quick.
I think karma will hit Danny Ainge, really and truly. Karma will hit Danny Ainge because what you did to Isaiah Thomas, right? What you did to Isaiah Thomas allowed you to get Kyrie. And then because Rozier started playing good and Tatum arose, now it had you not quieting down the rumors on Kyrie, which made Kyrie feel totally uncomfortable. How do you just get there the same year and then you started talking about him? So that allowed
mm-hmm.
him to be like, yo, Kyrie's pops is from the Bronx, B. So we good. He's pushing for his brand to reach stratosphere.
Yeah, I'm hoping Danny Ainge puts his money on Rozier and feels like he could lead them. You know, personally, I don't think so. I think Rozier is good. I think he had a hell of a playoff run, but we've seen that before from, you know, as long as we've been watching basketball, guys,
right?
You know, have monster playoff runs and then think they fit the dude on their own or be the lead guy elsewhere. But
right.
I mean, just on some side note,
I don't even want to get too much off of the Knicks, but just on some side note. If I was Danny Ainge, real talk, I would trade Kyrie Irving some couple of picks. I would trade Kyrie Irving and some couple of picks right now this year to have Damian Lillard under contract for 2-3 years.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But that's something here and there. Yo, I want to talk about Robinson, dog.
We're going to get into that, man. We're going to get into that. Before we get into the Fizz kids, I want to talk about the Knicks acquisition this past week. Their lone free agent acquisition this summer.
Love it.
Super Mario.
I love it.
From Orlando.
I love it.
Yeah.
I
like it too, man. I thought you would like it too. I think he kind of reminds you of the guy you missed last year and was unhappy that they cut in Kuzminskis.
Let me tell you something. Super Mario got crazy athleticism. He's,
yep.
You know, Orlando Magic is terrible with developing their draft. So he wasn't able to flourish until the second half of last season.
Yeah, mainly when Aaron Gordon
was out. He was the pick right after Porzingis.
Mm-hmm.
He was the pick right after Porzingis. He's 6'8". I mean, it's almost, you know, I'm going to tell you what's the funny part about it. It's almost destiny because he showed a picture of himself as a kid in a Nick joint. Like, it was destined to happen. He wants to be here. Because we had Coach Fizdale, he turned down offers from Portland and other places.
Yep.
And he's gonna be part of our future. He's gonna explode. Fizdale's gonna get the best out of him. And you hear the thing about what I love about what the Knicks are doing. What Fizdale did in his coaching staff is make sure that everybody in his coaching staff is a developmental specialist. And that's key. So that everybody, you're able to make the most of whatever you get. So the fact that Mario is getting the opportunity, and just like you said, Doc, and you're going to love this, Fizdale said, He has no starting lineup.
Right.
Tim Hardaway has to fight for his job, which is beautiful. And he better, after letting Dwayne Wade's son hit him up on YouTube, it's crazy.
That was ridiculous in itself.
That's crazy.
But like you said, man, yo, I like this signing, man. I think it's an under-the-radar signing. It was a little more than $6 million per year. I mean, well, for this 1 year. There was a reason why he was the fifth pick, man. You know, right after KP, like you said.
Yeah, he had tremendous potential. But like you said, in this day and age, everybody has a lot of these kids have talent, but they don't have IQ, and because they don't spend a considerable amount of time playing. Because even though he's playing overseas, he didn't get that much playing time. So it's basically like he's a one and done. So the league now has to be keen on developing their players. You have to be able to develop your players. And that's the thing. If you look at Brad Stevens, that's why Boston is so successful, because you have a coach that not only puts his players in the right position, but helps develop them mentally and physically so to take their games to the next level. Every person that Brad Stevens has had, he's able to develop them and be better than when they first came in. And that's what Fisdale's doing.
Yeah. All right. That's what I'm looking forward to come Saturday, man. I want to see how these kids develop. Yeah, but hopefully Mario is another one that you know, maximizes his potential on the Fisdale. You know, I like what he does. Like I said, he kind of reminds you of Kuz, but I think he's stronger and a little more aggressive.
Yes, more athletic.
More athletic. Yeah, the numbers he put up were pretty good when, you know, like you said, towards the end of the season, and a lot of those was because Aaron Gordon was out and his minutes increased. You know, 14.5 rebounds in the 30 games he started.
Honestly, Doc, I would love for him to be taking over Tim Hardaway's spot.
Yeah,
I'm
just happy it's going to push all of them. You know, like
I want
said,
him to take. I want him to be the starting shooting guard. Starting shooting guard just for this year. We know if we get Jimmy Butler will be the starting shooting guard next year. But I just want him to be the starting shooting guard this year, so that he could be our sixth man coming next year, and find a way to phase out Tim Hardaway.
I want them to build up Tim Hardaway so they could trade his ass, man.
It's all right, man. Because to me, my thing about it is, yeah, you got some shots or whatever, but like the height, I'm liking the fact of where we're going right now. If you think about it, Hezonja, Knox, Ntilikina, if we can add Jimmy Butler, then we have sort of that same type of rotation of dudes at 6'6", 6'8", you know, our two guard forward combinations. That's what I want us to be. I want us to be a very tall team.
How about that, man? What Fisdale said. Some of the things he says is kind of like Wild Cowboy is
what?
Sadat X. Wild Cowboy. He said he wouldn't. He's looking forward to playing a lineup of Knox, Robinson, KP, and Luke Kornet. You know, that's four guys. Well, three guys who are 7 footers, and then Knox being 6'8", 6'9". You know, playing the two guard.
It's not necessarily that he's going to, but the thing about it is what he's trying to say is he's playing positionless basketball. And when you're playing positionless basketball, what that means is that everybody's moving, cutting, screening without the ball. So the height really doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. The height of everybody doesn't matter because the ball's not touching the floor. That's the thing that he's trying to preach. Is the type of offense that he runs
on the defensive end.
Yeah,
you know,
we'll smash dudes.
Mm-hmm.
We'll smash dudes. Because the thing about it is he wants versatile people. He wants versatility. Versatility is at an all-time high, man.
Yeah. He wants that length on the floor. Wingspan where, you know, dudes get deflections everywhere.
I'm glad we kept Cornette, man.
Yeah, I liked him too, man. That dude is, above everything else, his shot is real. And you told
that's what I'm saying.
That's
so,
and he's
tall, lengthy, could run the floor. So when you have those kind of combinations where somebody can run the floor, they could shoot the three, they can defend. We're gonna be a tall, lengthy, up and down defensive team that spreads the basketball, looks for good shots. That's it.
Yeah.
And the thing about it is what I love is the understanding culture. It's a culture. It's a way of playing basketball. It's not all this one-on-one garbage, not your everyday just, oh, we're just going to come down and have a predictable offensive pick and roll and stuff like that. No, it's we're cutting, we're moving. I tell you, the best kind of offense is ball movement, player movement. And
yeah, I hope to see that, man. Like, also, you know, he talked about them. Well, everybody I've heard so far is Fizdale wants them to get their offense from their defense. And,
right.
You know, for the last, I can't even put a number on it, how long the Knicks have struggled on that end of the ball, man. So,
right.
Hopefully, you know, we've heard coaches talk about it before, but hopefully he really does turn around the culture on defense. And we saw it when we were most successful, I mean as far as recent, is with those 90s Knicks. And that's how they got most of their offense, too, was, you know, from the defensive end.
Right. That's, I mean, he's under the Riley tree. He's under the Riley tree. And the most important thing that I like about Fizdale is that one is that he's not going to tell you what you want to hear, but what you need to know.
Right.
Right? To better yourself as a player. That's one. But two, I think more importantly, is that he's the kind of coach where your players not only want to play for him, but love and respect him as a man. And I think that's so important because when you have a coach that the players genuinely love and care for and can talk to and want to know that this coach wants me to succeed, then You're gonna go your hardest for him.
You're gonna
run a brick wall, man.
Yeah,
and that's
he'll
what
get
I
the
want.
Best out of them that way.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
Yeah, man. But yeah, that was, you know, the Super Mario signing we were talking about. But I think, you know, after that signing, I think that kind of solidified Beasley not coming back. You know, I think he was a fan favorite and he did work while KP was out. You know. I think he'll be missed by a lot of Knicks fans, but, you know, it's a business, and that's how things go. That's how things go, man. I don't think they have enough money left to sign him back right now. I think they only got about $3.5 million left. So I don't think, you know, Beasley will take a cut like that, especially after what he did last season.
I know. Hopefully a team like OKC gets him. A damn sure dope.
Yeah.
Because I know Golden State is going to try to get him too.
Yeah, I just hope, you know, I think he admitted it, the stuff that happened early in his career messed him up. But I think he kind of deserves, you know, a 2-3 year deal from somebody, man. I mean, I think he's at a point where he's kind of settled his life down, and we haven't heard any bad things about him. You know, even in a big city like New York that could lead to distractions.
He
was on his best
front.
Behavior.
One thing I'm going to front that I never really even put into perspective when you think about Beasley, right? Here it is. And he said it in his interview when he was chilling with KD. A part of the problem was that you're talking about an 18-year-old with millions playing in Miami.
Mm-hmm.
That was hard. That was hard for him.
That's true.
That's what was hard for him. You know, like if Beasley would have started out in Minnesota or started out in Cleveland, he probably would have been the starter everybody thought he would be, because his concentration level, as far as what he did off the court, and that's the thing too, man. You always have to realize, especially with these young players, which is why I'm so happy that we got Kevin Knox, is the focus, man. The focus
right.
on the focus on wanting to be great. It's real. It's real. Think about it. Mikal Bridges, right? Mikal Bridges. He came into the Knicks draft workouts. Like, yo, son, I'm a 2-time national champion. I don't need to work out with nobody. I only do private workouts. Kevin Knox is like, yo, I do group workouts only. And we're going to the grit and grind, and he's killing Miles Bridges. Killing. They use the word destroyed.
Yeah.
So many different adjectives. He said he only wanted to do group workouts. So with that being said, and him having the rookie of the year written on his wall, he wants to be great, man. He wants to be great. And he's only going to get taller. He's 18. He's 6'8 now. I figure he probably could be 6'10 when it's all said and done.
Yeah, the thing.
When it's all said and done, he probably could be 6'10.
The thing with Beasley to me, and I forgot which one of the coaches I heard this from too. I think he was too good too early, and he knew he was good, and the game came too easily to him. And I think with that, he didn't have the fire under him to improve. You know, I think that's what it was with Beasley. Going on to Knox, like you said, I was happy to hear that from him as far as the group workouts, because that was the biggest deterrent, I think, for him and for me early on, you know, before he had that workout, was his motor. You know, that's what a lot of people talked about, his you know, the fire in him, you know, the desire to compete, especially on the defensive end. You know, so I was happy to hear that, you know, what he did in those workouts, that's what he wanted to do, and I think that's the best place to show what you can do is versus somebody else, you know, instead of being alone in the gym.
Yeah,
you know?
That's
so,
what I'm saying. He, you know, they was going after it, and he earned his spot. He earned his spot, and with Fizdale saying, "Yo, no spot is given," that's beautiful. That should have been music to your ears, Doc. But that's what you've been preaching.
Yeah, man. I don't want
the only
I don't
spot.
Want
only spot is solidified is Porzingis.
Right. I think that's how it should be, man. And I think that's how it should be on all NBA teams. And you'll have players playing harder overall. You know what I mean? I shouldn't say all NBA teams. Basketball in general, you know what I mean? From as a youth up to, you know, the pros. Nothing should be given, man. You going to practice or going starting the season. Everything up for grabs, man.
I know,
yeah,
but it doesn't always work like that. Because you know, when you think
especially when you think about
job security, or when you think about fraud, front office agendas, it works so hard. It's just that right now we're just in a position of building the culture.
Right.
Really right now, everything is based upon how healthy Porzingis is going to be, man, as far as attracting these other free agents.
Yeah, that's big, man. That's big. Let's get into what's going to go down Saturday, man. Is there a player for you that you're looking forward to seeing the most come Saturday, you know, the start of the summer league?
I mean, of course I want to see how aggressive Frank is. That's, of course, you know, see how he comes out looking for his shot, see his handle. Of course I want to see Kevin Knox.
Robinson.
If I can see the early traces of stardom, you know, because I've seen it before when I seen it with Kuzma. It's just about how he scores. I want to see how he scores. If it's really smooth and effortless, then we definitely got ourselves a gem. And I think it will be, because, you know, he could score catch and shoot. There's so many different ways that he can score that I just feel like I just want to see how mature is he going to approach the game. I know he's going to play hard, but, you know, sometimes you could play hard and force it, like, you know, Trae Young is doing. I want to see how calm, collective he is, see how he's playing. I'm also want to see Robinson, man. I've been hearing so much great things about Robinson that it's ridiculous right now. Like, there's a video out, right? Homie was at the other court, end of the court, at the 3-point line.
Yes, I saw
he
that
took,
video.
He took one dribble, dog.
Yep.
One dribble, and then dunked it.
Yeah, they're talking about his athleticism being, you know, like out of worldly. Like,
exactly.
I don't know, man. We talked about him being compared to, like, DeAndre Jordan and
that's what they
Tyson
saying.
Chandler and
that's,
those type of.
No, they're saying that he has elite athleticism and. Fizdale has him right on the right path. He said all he wants him to concentrate on doing is blocking shots, rebounding, running the floor, pick and roll, diving hard to the rim, catching them lobs.
Yep.
That's all he wants to do. And he said once he's mastered that, then we'll start working on jump hooks and certain stuff to start featuring his game. But
I want to see him
catching an electrifying dunk.
Right.
I want to see that. I want that element in our game that you can have a dude that you can just say throw it up there, because we haven't had that in a long time. You know, what's the last time we had that? We had it with Chandler, but I'm talking about like
as a youth.
Like
be.
Electrifying, like
right.
Electrifying,
right.
Like yo, we used to throw that up to Camby like crazy. I'll never forget when he banged it on Dikembe. My goodness.
Yeah, that first round when he was the eighth seed and beat the one seed.
Yeah, that's what we need. We need something where, you know, because when we have our guards coming down the court and just throwing it up, we need that.
My thing with them, with those two callers, if you're on the line, press one to get in the queue. But yeah, my thing with the two rookies, well, there's three rookies actually, but we're talking about Knox and Robinson right away.
Yeah,
I just want to see the confidence in them. Like, You want to see if they feel like they belong. You know what I mean?
I'm
like,
not, I really don't. I'm not really. I'm not. I'm really not worried about that, Doc. Honestly and truly, I'm really not worried about the confidence factor.
No,
because
not, I don't. I'm not to say
think,
worried
I,
about the confidence factor, but you know. Well, you know right away sometimes when you see a player, if they're scared, if they're timid, or if they know in their head that this is where I belong, and, you know, I'm going to do my thing here. That's
Knox,
what I'm looking for off the bat.
Knox has showed me all the qualities of not being scared, right? Because he wants it. So I'm not really worried about Knox. What I want to see is I want to see how polished, how because they said that he doesn't have no rust at all is why I want to see Robinson. And then also, too, I want to see what we're going to do with our two-way contract player, which is, that's the thing, man. What if this dude is super sautéed nice, which
and
I believe he is, man.
Alonzo Trier. He was a big name coming out of high school. You know, when he went to Arizona, and really and truly, if it wasn't for, you know, the PED,
I know he wouldn't have been out. He would have been out in the draft like last year.
Yeah, he would have been a first round pick last year, and it's kind of crazy how, for a big name school, in Arizona, where he averaged 18 points this past season, that for him to go undrafted, you know what I mean? Arizona played in a big-time conference and, you know, played against big-time schools. 18 points a game ain't too shabby when you're playing next to the number one pick in DeAndre Ayton. So
exactly.
It's kind of – hopefully we have a steal in him. And
I think we do have a steal in him.
Yeah, because the thing, too, you know, being that – he's kind of in the same mold as Dotson. I think, you know, if he's that good, he might knock Dotson out of, you know, the position he has right now with us. So.
Right.
Between them two, I think that's going to be a battle.
And Dotson can shoot the lights out. I'm looking
mm-hmm.
to see how he performs. I want to see if you know, the thing about it is, what I like about what the Knicks have a lot of young talent.
Yeah.
For so long, we've been old. For so long, we've been old and non-athletic. We finally are developing a squad that can get up and down. Young cats who can look to defend 48 feet, get it and go. Because that's the one thing that I always regret about when we had Carmelo Anthony is that we never had enough easy baskets.
Yeah, you always said that.
Yeah,
you always said that.
You have to have to the point, everything cannot be half court. Half court is for when you have your star players.
What's up, MVP?
Fellas, we got a caller in. Last four digits, 0821.
Okay.
Caller, state your name, where you calling from.
No, man, I'm black enough for you. Frank Nabnikashi, you enough. What up, Doc?
What's up,
what
Frank?
Up? What up, man?
Chilling, man, just... I'm on mass transit tonight, so you hear the background. Just let you know I'm out here in these streets, man.
No doubt.
So good, man.
Yo, Brank, you asked for ISO a couple weeks ago. He back, man.
Yo, brother ISO, what's good, man?
Yo, what's good, man? Glad to be back, man. I heard you was calling for me. I had to come back, man.
Yeah.
You know?
true indeed, man. It ain't the same without you, man. You know what I mean? It's the tag team, you know?
Yo, thank you, man. Glad to be back. My car got accepted. Doc accepted me back. It's all good. We here.
That's
Yo,
what it is.
What
Heart Foundation.
Tonight, Brank? Well, yo, I mean, just, you know, I'm in these papers, reading these papers, and the whole Kyrie Jimmy Butler thing, man. How come Knicks fans just can't be happy with what we have for one season?
Because we wouldn't be New Yorkers if it wasn't like that, man.
I think what it is, man, is that it's a real, you know, like, it's not like LeBron, like, you know, oh, LeBron's coming over here. That's more pipe dreams. This, whether it happens or not, but it's more realistic. I think that's why New Yorkers are so souped about it, because understanding the situation, Jimmy Butler doesn't like Minnesota. He doesn't like Carl Anthony Towns and Andrew Wiggins. You know, the front offices are not going to move Towns and Wiggins before they move Butler. Butler's not going to sign his contract. He's not going to sign his contract because he's going to want big money. You know what I'm saying? The way Kyrie's been treated, as far as they're fluctuating his name in trade talks. You know, I just got here and you disrespected me like you disrespected Isaiah. So I'm going to put the pressure on y'all to make sure that y'all want to give me max money. Yo, Nick's going to have cap room.
Will we be able to do both of those? And remember, we got to put KP under contract. And then there's also the Kantner issue. You know what I'm saying? So if we want to keep them two around, it can only be one of those two guys. That's what I'm saying. I don't think we can do both of them and sign KP to the long term because he has to get the max, even though he busts his knee up and shit.
Here's the thing. One, the salary cap is going to go up real high next year because you got to remember – online sports betting is on now. So because sports betting is on and NBA going to get a little piece of that, the salary cap going to go up. We're going to be able to max KP, and it's not going to go up against the cap because we own his bird rights. So we can pay KP as much as we want, and it's not going to affect our cap. We're going to be able to Noah's just coming off the books. You got to remember, Cantor's 1 year, so he's coming off the books. We're gonna
Lee comes off the books, too.
Huh?
Lee comes off the books, too, next year.
Yeah, that's, but we're going to trade Courtney Lee. We're going to trade Courtney Lee this year because we ain't got no room for him because we're going big. Ain't no more Tim Hardaway playing a small forward and Courtney. We're not doing that no more. So
right.
Yeah, so all them dudes are coming off the books. Hopefully we trade a couple of low draft picks and Tim Hardaway, get that contract out of there, and then boom. You know what I'm saying? Jimmy Butler becomes our starting two guard. And with Kyrie at the point. Because we got a lot of 1 year contracts.
Yeah, they set themselves up right. But let's see if they can execute it, man. I'm being optimistic. Yo, when does Summer League start?
Saturday.
Tomorrow.
It will start tomorrow for the Vegas
Saturday.
Summer League. It really started already, but just the one in Vegas starts tomorrow.
Okay. Yeah, I'm excited about that too, man. I want to see how the rookies come out and ball. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, man.
Moreover, I want to see how Frank looks. You know what I'm saying? Because now he's battle-tested. You know, homeboy got a little bit buff working on his game. You know what I mean? Really looking forward to that, man.
Yeah, he got
really
taller
too, to
man.
That.
6'7", man.
And I'm loving Fizdale's attitude about everything. Now, this is something I brought up on the broadcast a few times. Everybody used to always say, Frank comes up, he gives the ball away, then he gives the ball up, then he runs away. You know
right.
what I'm saying? I was reading, Fizdale was showing him that on tape. Over and over, how many times he did it. Homeboy was like, yo, I didn't even know I did that.
Yeah. Fizdale said he wants them to attack, you know, at every chance he gets, he wants them to attack. And he said that, you know, he feels that'll lead to, you know, him still giving up the ball, but getting easier baskets for everybody else. You know?
Yeah,
but,
man. I really like Fizdale, man. I mean, I think it's a coach that, you know, Fizdale reminds me of the old school coaches. You know what I'm saying? Like when you used to play basketball back in the days and your coach knew your moms and you know what I'm saying, knew about your family and really cares about you. That's what that's the way Fizdale gives that impression to me. So, you know, I can feel these players running through a wall for him, man. For real, for real.
Yeah, I like how he took, you know, initiative and the lead early with them. You know what I mean? I mean, we talked about it before about when he took them to the finals game, you know, Burke, Moutier, Frank, and that was early, man. And how involved he is right now, you know, before the summer league, and have them in his own training camp, you know, way before the season starts.
Let them get
that,
some
man.
Chemistry with between them, between each other. Come
right.
in, mix that in with the veterans. Yeah, man, we might have something real nice. Yeah, I'm excited, man. This season seems like it's going to be competitive, and that's the only thing I ask for is for them to get out there and compete. You know what I mean? I hate to see them when we give up on fourth quarters and all of that. And Doc, I think you're going to get your wish. I think they're going to release your favorite player, man.
Who's that?
I don't remember the boy name. The white boy. What's the white boy name?
Baker.
Release.
There you go. Word.
Oh,
Baker. Ron Baker.
Oh man.
Just pay him out
and let him buy him out and let him walk, man.
He ain't getting no burn.
He won't.
He ain't getting no burn.
He might as well come dressed up as the water boy for real.
Well, somebody got to get released if they're going to sign Robinson. You know what I mean? And his contract's not crazy. I think it's like maybe $5 or $6 million on the season. So letting him walk won't hurt them too bad. You know what I mean? And they need to get rid of him. He doesn't fit the mold on what's going on, man.
Yeah, we don't need him.
That's the old regime. He's an old regime dude.
Phil Jackson, illegitimate son, man. That's how he got that money.
Word, man. That was your favorite player, man. So, you know, I know you'll be sorry to see him go.
Yeah, man.
Word. But listen, fellas, I'm about to transfer. I got to get off this joint. I just wanted to show some love. Shout out. I'm real excited about this season, man. Real excited about this season, to say the least.
Yeah, man. Me too, man. Glad to hear from you, man. And I'm back. And we here, man. We here. We're going to be here for this whole season, B. For real.
Yeah, definitely.
Good looking, Bray. Thank
ain't
you,
done.
Man.
All right, fellas, I'll catch you on the next one.
All right,
man.
Yo, Issa, we didn't talk about Frank that much, and but for real, man, I think this is big. He might be the biggest, you know, like you said, this is his biggest off season. I mean, an important off season. It's only his second year, but this is real key for him, man. And key for the Knicks, you know, to find out if we really blew that pick, you know, last year. So I mean, I hope he hears what and takes in what Fizdale is preaching to him as far as being aggressive and attacking at every chance he gets. I hope we see that come Saturday, also, man.
I mean. It's hard. I'm not going to say. We already blew the pick. All right? Let's not say we didn't blow the pick. We blew the pick because of we could have had
not
another franchise player.
Right.
Right? We could have had a franchise player with our team because Donovan Mitchell is a franchise player. So to say if we blew the pick, we blew the pick. But it's really about, is he going to be a bust? That's what it is. It's not about we blew the pick. But now let's find out, do we have a bust?
Yeah,
do we have
a
bust? And I mean, what I mean, right, it's like this. It's hard. I'm not even going to say it's a bust because he's not a bust because, I mean, he's already – if anything, if he becomes nothing else in the NBA, he'll be an elite defender. You know what I'm saying?
I hope so, man.
Nah, it's you know, he defends the pick and roll. He defends the pick and roll. He does a lot of things good defensively. Defensively, he's where he needs to be. There's nothing wrong with him defensively. If he was offensively what he was defensively, then we'd have a person in the running for Rookie of the Year, because we've seen him guard as a rookie. We've seen him not lock up, but play James Harden in some of the best situations that you've ever seen somebody one on one play James Harden.
Right.
Defensively,
scared of anybody on that end.
Yeah, so defensively he's there. Can he elevate his game on the offensive end? You know? And then just being able to grow, man. Just being able to grow and being able to be versatile, playing multiple positions, and put ourselves in a position to where him, Kevin Knox, and Porzingis attract free agents, man.
Right. I still have that on my mind, what I said last year about Frank. And I mean, last year I said, you know, I wish he could work with somebody like GP. You know what I mean? We still don't know, to me, what position Frank is. He played a lot of two guards to end off the season and played decent there, but we still don't know if he's a point guard or a two guard.
He doesn't have to be, man.
This isn't
the old NBA, Doc. This isn't the old NBA. He doesn't have to be. All he has to do is be a basketball player. Take the responsibilities. Hey, if you grab the rebound, you can take it and go and create. You know what I'm saying? That's to me is more dangerous than just solidifying your spot.
But we need to know exactly what he can do well on the offensive end.
That's what I'm saying.
I don't want to put him as. You're right. This day and age, you know, you rather versatility and positionless
right.
players. But we have to know what he can do well. Because
to me, just be consistent. That's all he has to do is be consistent. You know, you drive, you work on your driving game, you work on your jump shots. To me, a lot of it is just all about confidence. A lot of it is all about confidence because how he's coming over into the situation. You missed summer league. You understand that you have to overcome not only living barriers, being an 18-year-old in New York City from France, right? Not only do you have to overcome the outside stuff on the court, but also the stuff on the court. Communication, learning the game, being that young, being not that strong. There's a lot of things that he had to overcome. So now, with some experience of playing in the season, understanding you have a coach that believes in you, that wants to work with you, wants to develop you, you've worked on your skills, you've worked on your body, you're understanding where you're living, how you're living, and all that other stuff. Now, you can concentrate on basketball to elevate yourself. So now, to me, this is what you have to deal with. Like I said, you know, these kids nowadays, doesn't matter. It's fortunate. Dudes like Donovan Mitchell and Jason Tatum, that's rare. That's rare because these dudes are skilled. And they were blessed into situations because they had veterans around them that knew how to play the game, and they had good coaching. Not everybody's gonna have that, man.
Yeah, I think the thing he has on the side is the youth. But I'm sticking to that. I don't want to make him as a specialist in anything, but I'm gonna stick to that. Yo, I want him to. I wish he could work with GP. I don't see that happening because you know GP is in no way associated with New York. But
right.
When you look at GP's game, you know, coming out of Oregon, he was great on the defensive end, and I think he wasn't a great offensive player, but his confidence made him that way. he was never a 30-point-a-game scorer or a guy who could go for 40 on you, but you know he was solid. I mean, he wasn't the finisher like, you know, Rod Strickland was. He wasn't the quickest with like Tim Hardaway was, or you know, but he was solid on the offensive end where, you know, he'd hit the 15-foot jumper, he'll drive on you and you know, finish very well, above average, and then he developed a solid 3-point shot. And also his post game, I'm forgetting.
But here's the thing, Doc, about Frank. All the stuff that you mentioned is true, but not only does he have youth on his side, he has the physical tools. You know what I'm saying? He has the physical tools. He's 6'7" with a 7-foot something wingspan. So
we gotta see
you know,
him use it though, man.
Use it to his advantage. He did use it to his advantage on the defensive end.
Right, but that only could give you so many minutes in this league. And the eighth pick was
not necessarily.
The eighth pick is not just worth the defensive player, man.
I expect him to be at least second team, second or third team all defense this year.
Yo, you don't use the eighth pick on a guy like his name is skipping my mind right now. But yo, this ain't football, man. Where you draft a defensive lineman or a safety with the eighth pick. You know what I mean?
Look, you're confusing the fact of what the Knicks were doing and what Phil Jackson was doing. That's two different things, B. That's two different things.
He needs to develop. We need to see something more.
He's only 18 years old.
I said that's on his side. That's a big plus for him, but he has to show some type of improvement on the offensive end.
Yes,
man.
I think he will.
I think he took some steps at the end of the year.
He took some steps towards the end of the year, and a lot of it to me is not mechanics; it's confidence. The more confident, you understand, when you're playing on the court and you're seeing these dudes' arms, one arm is bigger than both your arms, you know. That's going to lead to some intimidation, man. He came into the league as a true high schooler, if you think about it.
To a certain degree, because he was playing against professionals.
No, but what,
so
that's not
what
I'm saying,
though.
Age-wise,
yes.
He was still 18. He turned 19 while playing in the league. So he came into the league as a true high schooler. And it don't matter what other league you play in, even though you can play in good leagues, playing in the NBA is totally different because you're playing with majority of brothers. And when you're playing with majority of brothers, you're talking about dudes who talk smack. That's just like saying that, oh, you're a dude who was great in CYO or whatever, and now you're going to play in Dykeman and Rucker. That's different. It's totally different. So now he's playing with guys that are 200, 240, that run faster than he do, that jump higher than he do. He has to adjust. He gets his confidence up.
He has to improve. That's
but everybody, there's no question. To me, he has the work ethic to improve because you got to look at it. Trace McGrady didn't shine like that when he first came in.
Yeah, definitely not.
Exactly, but that's the thing about it is we forget the true high schoolers. Like that's why you got to give a dude like LeBron credit. But also, LeBron came in with his body more mature than any 18-year-old you ever seen.
Right. He's excluded from all of this because he's just a super freak. You know what I mean?
But this is what I'm saying. So if you think about everybody else, if you think about the struggles Kobe Bryant had, you think about the struggles that KD had, Jermaine O'Neal, all these dudes who came in straight from high school, they weren't ready. You're just not ready on that level when you're that young.
I agree with that. But we have
all right.
So to me, he has to show improvement.
No doubt.
Yeah. This season he has to show something. You know what I mean? A reason why he was picked 8, and it can't just be on the defensive end. You know what I mean? He doesn't have to become no 25-point game scorer or 20-point a game scorer, but we got to see what we have in him, you know.
My thing about it is if he's a consistent 10 to 12 consistent scorer, can shoot the 3, occasionally he has some great games of 20 points, but he's always solid on defense, I can't ask no more for that. Really and truly.
Yeah. Yo, there's one guy that we kind of skipped to that I'm kind of looking forward to seeing also. That's Troy Williams, the guy we picked up late last year who showed flashes. You know what I mean? I think we addressed the small forward position in the draft, and also, you know, Hezonja is a combo forward also, mm-hmm. could play small forward, and you know, but Troy Williams he showed some flashes last year, and even before he came here, when he was in Houston, he had his moments, and I'm kind of looking forward to see what he does too. He's a little older than the other guys who you're talking about, the second year players and the rookies, and I think he could help us next year too, and going forward, hopefully surprise some people.
I mean, that's what it's all about, Doc. That's what it's all about. It's all about making sure that dudes are striving. Fizdale is giving everybody the opportunity to do your best. And I mean, that's all you can ask for. That's all you can ask for in this season coming up, man. Is that, you know, dudes put ourselves, that we're developing, put ourselves in the right position. And, you know, we get Porzingis back by December.
Do you think he comes back?
I think Porzingis, yeah, I don't think that you can not have Porzingis at play sometime at the season. You have to have him play during the season. He doesn't have to play the whole season, but you can't bank on him not playing the whole season and then giving him the extension. You can't do that. He has to come back, show everybody that he's healthy, so that in the next season you can sell to the free agents. We got Porzingis healthy.
Right.
We got
That's
this piece, that piece, and we need y'all. You know what I'm saying? But if he's not healthy, nobody's coming here.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say. That's how I see things. At least for a certain point, I think he has to come back and show that he's the same KP and he's going to get better, because without him, I don't think the guys we talked about early in the show, namely Kyrie and Jimmy Butler, I don't think they even think about coming here if he's not.
Exactly.
If he's not healthy.
Kyrie wants to play. Kyrie, you know, he had said it before in the All-Star game that he would love to play with a big dude like him. Like, imagine pick and roll with Kyrie and Porzingis. What are you going to do?
Right. Yeah.
What are you going to do? There's nothing you can do. They both can shoot. Both can pass.
Yeah, that's kind of deadly when you think about it, man.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, but that's down the line. Saturday we got Atlanta. Our first summer league game Saturday at 5:30. Sunday we looking at Utah.
Right.
At 9 o'clock, and then Tuesday we got MVBs and Truth Be Told Lakers on Tuesday. Yeah, with those three games coming up, we'll have, you know, something to talk about next week as far as what we see from our young guys.
Definitely.
Yeah, man. Well, good to have you back, ISO.
Good to be back, Doc.
For real, man. Looking forward to next week. Again, don't forget your card, man.
You got the new one on file, man. You got the new one on file.
Word, man. Well, your calls out there, listeners, thank you for your call. Thank you for listening. You know, check us out on all social media platforms, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, SevenSiteMedia.com for old episodes. We'll see y'all next week. This is Dr. Big Al.
This is the Patient ISO.
On Nick's Therapy. Peace.
Peace.